Hello, Hilltoppers. You are listening to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty, where we are passionately vocal. I'm Paul with a very special edition of The Paul Show. Today is Wednesday, October 9th. For those unaware, the first full week in October is Mental Health Awareness Week. A strong understanding of mental health is very important to me, which is why I am joined in the studio by Samantha Pearl. Samantha is not only a student here at West Liberty University, she is also an advocate, volunteer, and spokesperson for NAMI of Greater Wheeling and Quiet Minds. Samantha, thank you for joining me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I am glad to be here.
Well, good. We are excited to have you here in the studio. Now, for any listeners that may not know, what does NAMI stand for and what do they do exactly?
Well, NAMI as a whole is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is like a national organization, but they have like sort of, I guess, chapters or regional organizations. So NAMI Greater Wheeling is like the Ohio Valley's regional NAMI organization, and they sort of offer like mental health services for the regions that the national organization can't really like specify.
Okay, so for most places within the country, if you're near a somewhat established city, you should be able to find a NAMI chapter.
Yeah. So they'll be like, I guess, sort of like portion of NAMI in that city that kind of is part of the national organization, but only specializes to that region.
Okay. Well, that's very cool. Now, here you're also involved with Quiet Minds. What does this organization do, and how did you first get involved with them?
Okay, so Quiet Minds is actually offered through YSS, which is the Youth Services System here in Wheeling. But Quiet Minds is specifically focusing on like adolescence or young adulthood, and it's for the first episode of psychosis with mental illness. So if someone is like first experiencing depression and they don't know what to do, they don't know who to go to, they can contact Quiet Minds, and Quiet Minds kind of shows them the resources that the region has to offer and helps them get the help that they need to really understand like what's going on and to like treat the mental illness that they're developing.
Oh, wow. Now, what exactly made you want to get involved with helping those with mental health issues, such as, like you said, depression?
Right. So I have had my own experiences with mental illness. Like, once I hit puberty, it was sort of like, hey, here's depression, here's anxiety, deal with it, figure it out. And so I was fortunate enough to have a support system around me that sort of understood that I needed help from not just my peers, that I sort of should see a professional for the feelings that I was feeling, and that, you know, being sad all the time isn't just normal. And so when I kind of sought that professional help, it was sort of an eye-opener that those who don't get that help, it's so rough. Like, it's such a different situation for someone, you know, struggling with depression that has a therapist and someone who doesn't have a therapist. Because when you seek that professional help, they help you learn, like, coping strategies or, you know, enable you to talk through what's going on and help you to understand really like what's happening in your brain. And so after I kind of realized the importance of getting resources to cope with and deal with mental illness and really be able to live with that like chemical imbalance in your brain and understand that, you know, you're not alone and that there are lots of people that deal with that every day, you know, it sort of made me want to get involved and be able to, you know, help other people understand that there are resources out there, that they're not alone, that, you know, it's okay not to be okay. And so, you know, Quiet Minds was just sort of one of the organizations that I found that really stressed the importance of getting that help and, you know, really ending the stigma on mental illness that, you know, there are thousands and thousands and millions of people around the world that have mental illness. And that's okay. It's normal.
Right. Now, you mentioned, you said you first started noticing when you hit puberty, correct?
Yes.
Is that a pretty common age for when people would start developing these issues with mental health?
First, it kind of depends on the mental illness.
Speak more so on depression, then. Let's use that as the example.
Okay, so yeah, typically with like depression and anxiety, those kind of are triggered at a point in time where your body starts going through all of the like hormonal changes that come with puberty. So for girls, it kind of starts a little bit earlier. And so, you know, boys might experience mental illness a little bit later than girls, but usually around the time of puberty, that's when all of those hormonal imbalances are already happening. That's when it can kind of show any mental illness that could be developing. And it also has to deal with like outside environmental factors that can sort of affect whether the genetics are
and that could be shown. A whole host of different things.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it can be anything from like a bad home life to bullying or just like simple stuff.
Yeah.
But like things such as schizophrenia, like those don't come about until later in life, like young adulthood.
Right. Now we are going to have to go to a break real fast. We're going to go to a few songs, some favorite artists of ours in the studio here. So stay tuned when we come back. With Samantha will give us some advice on what to do if you are dealing with your own mental health issues. So here is Chandelier by Sia. Welcome back, WGLZ listeners. If you're just now joining us here during this special edition of The Paul Show, I am joined in the studio today by Samantha Pearl, advocate, volunteer, and spokesperson for NAMI of Greater Wheeling, Quiet Minds. Reason being, we are in the middle of the National Mental Health Awareness Week. Since that, we're discussing combating mental health. Now, Samantha, you kind of mentioned a little bit of this earlier, but there are a ton of misconceptions about depression, such as that it's just feeling sad. What exactly causes depression, and why does only a portion of the population seem to suffer from it?
Yeah, so with depression, it's genuinely a chemical imbalance in your brain. Typically, it deals with a neurotransmitter, serotonin, and it's, you know, your brain really doesn't produce enough to regulate your emotions, and so it genuinely makes you feel, like, tired and sad, and it's more than just feeling sad. You can genuinely have more symptoms, like, you know, withdrawing from others. You can really want to like sleep a lot because you feel so tired and so drained. It really can kind of control your whole life just from, you know, your brain not functioning properly. And you, typically with depression, like, you either really have to have successful coping strategies and like a support system around you, but a lot of times people actually have to get that corrected with medication because it's so severe and it can genuinely take hold of your life and control it.
That what you're saying right there kind of leads into my next question, which was what are some of the signs that someone is dealing with depression and what can they do about that?
Yeah, so typically someone who's dealing with depression, like they're not, depression can really show itself in different forms. Like this is very subjective and different for everyone. But usually if someone is, you know, withdrawing from their peers, if they don't seem to have a lot of motivation, if they, you know, have this like sense of dread or like an overall sadness. Like they're not really able to be happy for long periods of time. I mean, it genuinely, it's just, it's very subjective. But if you feel like someone is dealing with depression, or if someone thinks that they may have depression, or they're having, you know, a lot of these symptoms, then it is very important to seek a professional's help. I think even here on campus at West Liberty, they have like a on-site counselors that you can make appointments with. Usually a lot of universities will have those. But other than that, there are, you know, multiple areas in the community where you can at least talk to a professional, seek help from either a therapist, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, you know, depending on the severity.
And as you were saying, they could reach out to even like Quiet Minds of Wheeling to help get them started on their path to finding.
Yeah,
help.
Definitely. Quiet Minds is a great resource for that. It genuinely, they help with someone who has no idea, you know, what to do, who to go to, because they know who all in the community is best for helping with, you know, their situation, and they sort of can help with like the education of understanding the mental illness itself.
Okay. Now, aside from seeking professional help, which is obviously the best course of action for when you're dealing with depression, are there any real preventative measures that someone can do just themselves when it, in regards to tackling their depression?
I mean, I'd say like a preventative measure is like exercising and living a healthy lifestyle, like really making sure that you're physically healthy, because even though, you know, you may have like a hormonal imbalance, just exercising and stimulating like the serotonin and like all of those, you know, good hormones and endorphins in your body can really give you that like boost of energy. I mean, and then just kind of, I guess, allowing yourself to kind of feel like what you're feeling, and not really like kind of shoving things down, because that was kind of my problem and just made my depression worse, was when I did start to feel those things, I just kind of buried it and like just kind of like soaked all the sadness in.
Okay.
But really you want to like catch it in the first signs and really, you know, focus on like coping with it and talking it out with others, and, you know, kind of having a friend group and like a peer group that understands that really helps as well.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but you're saying you should kind of, like you said, instead of burying the emotions, you should really confront them head on and, like you said, experience them, really identify what you're feeling and why you're feeling. Is that what you were kind of getting at?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just sort of like the whole idea of normalizing it, because it is a very normal thing that people go through, and a lot of people go through it. And so I think it's very important to, you know, keep that conversation open and just allowing yourself to have those conversations with the people around you can really open up your support group even before you seek help from a professional.
Okay. Now, do you have any advice at all that you can offer our listeners that might be dealing with depression?
I would say definitely make sure you're getting plenty of sleep. Make sure that what you're putting into your body isn't just like junk food and soda. You definitely need to make sure that your body is like full of water and that you're not like deficient on vitamins, and making sure that, you know, you're not just making your feelings of, you know, your lack of motivation or, you know, your exhaustion or how tired you are. You're not, you know, contributing to that in any way. And then, I mean, just dealing with depression, I mean, I can't stress it enough. Like, making sure that you are practicing, like, self-awareness and kind of finding things that can distract you from depression, or, you know, focusing on the things that really bring you joy or making you happy, like, you know, even just a hobby, mm-hmm. rather than you know, just kind of sitting in your room while it's dark and and just dealing with depression, you know, really find what works for you. You know, someone else can say that something works for them and it may not work for you. Like, some people do yoga or meditate, but those things may not be for you. So it's just kind of figuring out, you know, kind of what works best, and then really just honing in on that.
Okay. Well, we are just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners? Any words of encouragement or anything whatsoever?
Yeah. So really, just the most important thing with mental health right now is just really ending the stigma of what it means to have mental illness. We've had so many years in our society where, you know, mental illness has kind of been like shoved under the rug, or people are just thought of as crazy or broken in some way. But we really need to understand that, you know, it's normal. It's a hormonal imbalance in your brain that you genuinely have no control over. And there are, you know, millions of people around the world that experience the same thing. So it's really like, it's okay not to be okay all of the time. And just, I think it's just important to understand why you're not okay, and to really accept that, you know, it's a normal way of life.
Well, thank you very much for that, Samantha. I do appreciate you coming in here and speaking with us during National Mental Health Awareness Week. But that is about all the time we have for this special edition of The Pulse Show. Again, I want to thank my guest Samantha for joining me in this conversation, and I want to thank you all for listening. As always, you've been listening to 91.5 WGLZ West Liberty, where we are passionately vocal. And now here is Stressed Out by 21 Pilots.